Gather round, take a seat, relax. It's the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtzon, right here on 101.9 High FM.
This is 101.9 High FM. This is Rabbi Levi Avtzon, and here we are, just after the 9 days, the 3 weeks of mourning. Back to regular, good, beautiful music. Chosen some beautiful music, hopefully, for you throughout the show. Fresh, and I'm sure some of the music you've never heard before. It's really some good stuff coming out, and it's nice to be able to get out of the heaviness of the time. Obviously, there was incredible value to the time and reflection and power and meaning, but it's time to move on. The calendar is moving on, and new energy heading towards the 15th of Av, Tubav, and its promise heading into a time where we already start wishing each other Shana Tova. Then the month of Elul is just a few weeks away. Rosh Hashanah is 6.5 weeks, 7 weeks from yesterday. It's here. It's a time of upliftment and a time of hope and transformation and deep going in. That's really what we hope to go. Actually, the song that we'll be playing at 20 past is the song Kivinu, this idea of hope. We're anticipating. It's more than hope. It's an active. Hope can often mean passive. And the word lekavot, kivinu, is very much an idea of very passionate and active anticipation for something, like this deep hope that days are coming, good days are coming. Ani mamin, right? We believe. And it's been keeping us going for a very long time, that belief that it all leads to something good, that we're heading somewhere. You know, one of the things that people don't understand when you talk about faith, often you talk to somebody who, let's say, struggling with their faith or has totally decided that they don't believe, right? They could be an agnostic, an atheist, whatever they call themselves to be. And the conversation, do you believe in God and do you not believe in God, becomes very a technical thing. Do you believe God created the world, or do you believe God's involved in your life? But often we don't understand that the ramifications of faith are much deeper than do you call yourself a believer or do you call yourself an agnostic or an atheist. It's do you believe fundamentally that life has meaning and that we're going somewhere? For an atheist to say they have hope is an oxymoron. They could say it. Anyone could say it. But fundamentally, you have hope in what? You have a hope in the natural goodness of people? What goodness? There's no goodness. There's no hope. There's no future. There's no present. There's no past. It's just a bunch of materialistic particles flying through space. And we're not coming from anywhere. We're not heading anywhere. Life has fundamentally no meaning. The only way life has meaning is if it was created by an intentional creator. And I want to unpack that because I don't want to hide behind words. I think it's important that we actually unpack that. If I'm walking down the street and I trip and scratch my knee, now forget about the God aspect for a moment. Someone's going to sit there saying, Levi, why did you trip? I don't know why I tripped. I tripped because I didn't see the step in front of me, or I didn't see the ditch, or I lost my balance. It wasn't intentional, right? If I intentionally tripped, I wouldn't trip in a way to scrape my knee, right? I would trip in a much more classy way. I would make sure I fall onto a pillow. Or when something happens not by design, you can't ask what's the meaning of it unless you believe it's by design, right? If I come to my toddler and my toddler has just totally created havoc around the house, which is, you know, their mandate and calling in life, ask what's the meaning? What do you mean, what's the meaning? They were 2 years old and they just decided to have a terrible twos moment and just do what they do. There's no meaning to it. Fundamentally, if I ask why did he do it, it means that I actually believe that the person knew what they were doing, right? If an animal runs around and creates havoc in my home, why did he do it? What do you mean, why? Why means I'm assuming there's consciousness. there was a conscious decision to do so. How can you ask that? Like, why did the mosquito sting me? Why not? When you ask why, you're fundamentally saying that there is a designer. So the meaning in anything in life, why did a tragedy happen? Why did October 7th happen? Why did my grandmother pass away? Why am I going through this hard time? Why is my child having so many struggles? You're fundamentally assuming that someone designed it that way. That means you believe in God. Because if you don't believe in God, then why does your child have struggles? Why not? Like, in other words, some genes work, some genes don't. Like, you could be very cold and callous about it, and I'm sorry to come across that way. But you can't objectively ask the question why, or it's not fair. What do you mean it's not fair? There's nothing fair about the jungle. If life is a jungle, in other words, life is pure chaos, life is just a toddler, right? If we actually buy into this idea that there's no designer, there's no creator, there's no God, and the world came into existence because two particles exploded and it just, the Big Bang, and things just happened, and over billions of years, things evolved, and we just happened to be here by total chance and happenstance, then you can never ask the question why. It's an invalid question. You can't ask what's the meaning of anything. It's an invalid question. There is, what do you mean meaning? Nobody designed this. This is all a mistake. This is all random. Not a mistake. It happened. Randomness doesn't have meaning. Fundamentally, if you believe in meaning, and you believe when things happen that there's a reason, even if you don't understand it, then you believe that there's a reasoner. That somebody has a reason. Right? So you could say, I don't understand why October 7th happened, but I believe there is a reason that somebody designed it. And by definition, you're believing in God. Well, you know, often it's interesting. People will say, I cannot believe a good God would do something so cruel. The Holocaust, this, that. So therefore, the conclusion is what? That there's no God and it's totally random and chaos can happen at any given age. And that offers you comfort. That offers you what? Yes, how could a good God allow bad things to happen is a big theological question, but often people just hear the question, they don't go deeper into the question, they don't sit within, they come to the easy conclusion, okay, there must be no gods, because it's either a God that does things the way I understand them to do, or there's no God at all. Okay, but then there's no God at all, then what? Then there's no meaning, there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no place we come from, we're not going anywhere, the relationships we're building in this world are fundamentally meaningless because we're all going to die and it's all going to go nowhere. Really? You could live with that? You believe that? Really? At the core of your being? You believe that your parents or grandparents that passed away have no entity, have no existence, just went into full-on oblivion and there's nothing there? We're only existing as long as we're materialistic beings. You really believe that there's no soul, that people don't have anything other than what you could touch and feel? I'll be honest, I don't think any of us deeply believe it at the core of our being. We realize that there's things that cannot be explained. You don't just love your child or love your parents because they have the same genes as you. There's a deep soul connection. We can maybe argue about what the soul is and how to define it, but this idea that there is a reality that cannot be seen, that we call the world of the spiritual, everyone at some level buys into. But often we just hide behind words. I do believe in God. I don't believe in God. I do believe in spiritual. I believe in being and existence and isness and all these words that we, you know, buzzwords that especially people that get into the new age, you know, philosophy, and they go to Eastern philosophy, so they'll hide behind words. But fundamentally, almost everyone believes that we're not materialists 100%, that the world isn't just matter, things that can be seen, touched, and felt in a very physical way. We really don't believe that. And if you don't believe it, then the question is, what do you believe? But as long as we're hiding behind buzzwords, I believe this, I don't believe this, this word I don't, etc., I think we get distracted from the ramifications. Because if you truly believe in God, if you believe that this world is not random, that there is a designer, then the world is heading somewhere. And if the world is heading somewhere, then we have to be part of it. And with that, I'd like to play this song. Just came out a few months ago. I believe it's Kivinu by Mordechai Shapiro, a stunning song, here on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Fabringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is 101.9 Chai FM. You were just listening to the beautiful music of Mordechai Shapiro, Kivinu. Like that, we still hope. We still have an active hope in the future. And I think it's something that I feel as a community, many of us struggle with. You know, as long as there's hostages that are not home, and please God, they come home ASAP, many people feel like they can't have hope. As long as there's calamity in the community, people feel like they can't have hope. But I just heard somebody say it, and I really agreed with it. I was listening to a talk on Tisha B'Av, and someone was saying, there's so much more good that happens in the world than bad. And even the majority of our lives are full of beautiful things, a bed to sleep in, people that love us. Not every one of us has, but the majority of people have love, have food, have shelter. And yes, you can focus on those that don't, and it's very important. But when your level of happiness is only as imperfect as the world is, gosh, that's not a way to live. Because there's no gratitude. If it's not perfect, there's nothing to be thankful for. If you can't have hope, if you can't walk around with a smile, if you can't feel optimistic, as long as the world is imperfect, then we have a big problem then, yeah, with this world. And I don't think that's an approach. In other words, we could hold a lot together. That's part of being an adult, is holding a lot of emotions. A child, on the other hand, if they're happy, they're happy, and they're exuberant, and their eyes are, you know, there's nothing more beautiful than a child's smile when they're smiling with their eyes. And it's, but when they're sad, it's full on, the world's come to an end, right? It's very binary, it's very dramatic, and it could go from one to the other within 2 minutes. But when they're devastated, the world's come to an end. And when you distract them and you remind them, oh, candy, and they're smiling again, then the world's fantastic. And then they're fighting over a toy with their sibling, and it's back to the, you know, Armageddon. But an adult is able to hold complexity. You know, that's when people say, oh, we have to be more like children, that when they're joyous, they're pure joy. Ah, it's cute. And I find that one of those cutesy things that go around. No, we shouldn't be like children. Children should be like children, and adults should be like adults, and we should be a better version of adults. But a child is happy with all their heart, but they're also devastated with all their heart. And part of being an adult is holding complexity and being exuberant and still feeling, right? You could stand at your child's wedding and at the same time think about your parents who aren't there. And you could hold that. We could hold a lot of emotions in the same space. And it's the same thing with hope and joy, right? We're coming on to almost 2 years since October 7th. It's a fortune of time. And for many of us, many people, time has just froze and it's just all a big haze. Really? Is that what God's asking of us? Is that the way we honor the war that's going on by totally freezing our life? Or can we create space, time and emotional space to honor, to pay tribute, to remember, to cry for what happened and what's still happening? And at the same time, hold joy and optimism and promise and build our lives and have beautiful experiences and celebrate with all our hearts. Even the calendar, you know, we spoke during the 3 weeks of mourning that there's a time allocated within the calendar for grief. But now that time is over, thank God. It finished yesterday afternoon at noon. And now we enter a whole new space of hope, of promise, of joy, of celebration, of simchas. The simchas season is back. Right? All those that do weddings and bar mitzvahs, think, you know, wish them a lot of parnasa, because now's the time. Now's the time of the year. Pack in weddings, please God, till Rosh Hashanah from now. And barmis and batis, and please God, only simchas. And a lot of business for all the suppliers. Because that's the time. And we have to be able to figure out a way to hold a lot of emotions, to stop getting locked into a very specific space. And then we can never actually just let go. we live in a time of simcha. We live in a time of so much good happens around the world. You know, even long before October 7th, you looked around and most people struggle to be joyous. You know, it's easy. I find we often find a reason to blame our misery on something. So first it was October 7th, then it was COVID. COVID lasted for a while. And then there was the tragedies, and there was the loss of life, and it was, oh my gosh, you heard that young man and the young father, etc. And there's always, as long as we're in exile, there's always a reason to be miserable. There's always a reason to be miserable. But there's also always a reason to be, not just one reason, countless reasons, to be full of life and love and promise and so much beauty that happens in this world. So much. Most people in this world are good. You know, many of us focus on our local government. It's very anti-Israel and just, yeah, make a lot of bad calls. How many of us focus on the majority, the tens of millions of people in this country? I've lived in various places before moving to South Africa. And I say this without an ounce of patronizing. I really believe this with all my heart, that the South African people are some of the greatest, if not the greatest, cohort of people around the earth. Moderate and kind and gentle and greeting everybody and no major bias, just decent people. But how many of us walk around feeling that? Instead, we focus on the less than half a percent of this country that does criminal acts, and the less than a tenth percent that's involved in politics, and many of them do, you know, corruption. And that becomes a story because that's what we do. Or the loudmouths on social media who comment, which is the same five people plus their bots that are just commenting and spewing absolute rubbish out there. Gosh, I haven't been on social media other than WhatsApp in 2 years, and I don't think I'm lacking a single thing. But again, for those of us who spend time on Facebook and Instagram and X, and I have to know what's going on, Rabbi. No, isn't it a mitzvah? Really, you have to know about every idiot that's sitting home, jobless and miserable at the world, that's spewing bigotry on comments on X? Really? Really? You have to? What part of your mandate? You're going to show up to God and God's going to say, so why did you waste so much time? And they'll say, what do you mean, God? That wasn't a time wasting. I had to know about every idiot. Oh, wow, thanks. Really, really important. So glad that you never let anything slide, and you commented on every single foolish bigotry online. You've really done amazing work. Obviously, there's people that's their mandate, you know, to moderate hate online, and you know, kol hakavod to them for the work. But for the majority of us, why do we need it? It's almost like an addiction to misery and to always find a reason why things are bad. Right? There's always a reason why South Africa is coming to an end, and there's always a reason why things are terrible in some people's perspective. Like, no, there's always a reason for hope, and there's always a reason for promise, and there's always a reason for beauty. Just look at a baby. Just look at your life and see the hand of Hashem, and look at destiny, and look at where we come from and where we're going. I'm like, what is wrong with us? We so easily lose hope. We so easily get distracted from optimism when we go straight into the same nihilism that never ends. You know, every year we have a new year, a new Jewish year, a new secular year. And new is the idea of promise. One of the prayers we say on the high holidays is, Tichla shana v'klal eseha, tachal shana b'r'cheseha. May the year and its curses end. May the year and its blessings begin. We have this idea that like a new year, a new promise. It's promise. As we go into the season from now to Rosh Hashanah and beyond, it's a season of incredible promise. We can reinvent ourselves. We can reinvent our families. We do not have to be in the dysfunctional dynamics in our homes and in our communities. We could reinvent. You can keep onto the stuff that are good in your family culture and your community culture, and you can let go of the stuff that no longer serve you and build something beautiful. When we allow ourselves to let go of shackles and reinvent ourselves and stop seeing ourselves in ways that are no longer serving and are no longer helping us fulfill our mission, our God-given mission in this world, it's so liberating. And I often wonder, you know, when I myself enter, like, you know, that pessimistic self-pity state that I believe most humans fall into at least some of the time, I ask myself, what's this function? What's its goal? What do you want out of this? You want to be angry at everybody? You want to be bitter? You want to feel sorry for yourself? What's the gain? Or do you want to feel hope and optimistic and promise? Like, you know, yes, there's a lot of anti-Semitism in the world right now. There are a lot of anti-Semites. But there are many more people who are either not anti-Semitic or totally powerful on the thing. Yes, so you see a demonstration of 100,000 people, but in a country of millions. Even in this country, the majority of people love the Jewish people. Or they don't even know we exist. Can you see that? Or do we just get blinded by the noise? We literally can't hear ourselves think because it's so noisy that we actually buy into this rubbish. That when people sit there saying, gosh, Rabbi, there's no good news in town. What do you mean there's no good news in town? There's weddings this week. There are babies born this week. The schools are flourishing. Shuls are flourishing. Jewish organizations are flourishing. Families. Yes, there are families that are falling apart, but there are so many families with beautiful marriages. You know, often I talk to people who are like in the social work department, and one of the hardest things is when you're meeting everyday people that are going through rough times in life to remember that this is still not the whole picture. When you're only seeing a sliver of the community all the time and you convince yourself that's everything, right? It's not true. Yes, we're all living imperfect lives. We're not perfect beings. But I strongly believe that there's still so much goodness and so much blessing going on. And when you only focus on the negative, you lose the ability to see. And you lose the motivation to build because it just feels like an endless thing. There's so much dysfunction. But there's so much beauty. There's so much richness. There's so much goodness. There's so many beautiful families. There's not just dysfunctional families. There's so many beautiful communities, literally, even in the shul space. I believe that we're in a better space than in a community-wise across town than we've been in a very long time. So many shuls with young, dynamic, promising, upbeat leadership. So much good coming around. But if all you're listening to is negative news and who's sick and who died, and, you know, the soldiers and the hostages, and that's all you're hearing, and that's your whole reality, then yes, the world seems like a very scary place. But this is God's world. And part of believing in God, as we said earlier, is believing that everything's done with intention. That this is God's world. I don't have to carry this world. I have to do the best I can to make it a little better, but I don't have to carry this world. I have to just fix my little corner. I have to become a better husband and a better father and a better version of my Jew and a better rabbi, you know, if that's my job, just a better version. And slowly but surely try. Right, and hopefully do better radio shows. Just show up and give of myself in a better version, and then let God do the rest. And believe in God. Believe in God, and believe that in God who created this world, and God believes in this world. Right, there's a famous commentary, the Sifri, and it's on the Chumash, it's on the five books of Moshe. And there's a verse towards the end of the Torah that says, God is a God of faith, Kel Emunah. And most people translate it as, God is faithful. In other words, you can trust him. But the Sifri says, Kel Emunah, what does it mean, God's a God of faith? Hemin ba'olam ve'ubra'i. God believed in the world and created it. God believes in this world. And God created, and God knows what this world is. He created all the messiness. Everything comes from the same God. God created complexity and fragility and temptation and stupidity and psychopaths and everything. God created that. God created this world. And still he believes in it. Kelemuna, God's a God that believes in this world. Do I believe in this world? Do I believe in people? Yes, there's so much anti-Semitism around, but there's also so much goodness. Do I only see the negative? Am I walking around this world with a pit in my stomach and, you know, something in my throat that can't breathe because I'm just so terrified for the other shoe to drop? Or do I still walk around with this deep faith that we will figure this out and that goodness eventually will win? Do I believe in the holiness of the people around me? As this song, "The Holiest Yid in the World," so beautifully brings out. 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM.
The holiest time is now. The holiest place is where you're at. The holiest person is you. We played that song last week a cappella, and now we're playing it in musical form. I just love that song. I love its message. Right here, right now, this place. You and I, seeing the holiness around us. You know, most of us walk around this world with very poor eyesight, not physically, poor spiritual eyesight. We don't see each other for who the other person is. We don't see ourselves for who we really are. How are we supposed to? I mean, do you see soul? Very few people see soul, right? There's a famous story about fellow that came to visit his great rabbi, and his rabbi was a spiritual mentor, a great tzaddik, a righteous individual. And he comes to the rabbi and says, "You know, I see that you give a lot of attention to so-and-so. I don't think that person is worthy of your attention. I see him as a pretty simple, average, you know, not really worthy of the investment of time." And the rabbi turns to him and says, "So tell me, what do you do professionally? What kind of job do you have?" So he says, "Rabbi, as you know, I'm a diamond dealer." He says, "Do you mind showing me some diamonds?" He says, I left them in my hotel." The rabbi says, "Sure, go back to your hotel, bring me some diamonds." So the guy comes back and brings a little packet of diamonds and he spreads it around the table. And the rabbi says, "You mind telling me what's the most expensive diamond?" So he points to one and says, "This one is the most expensive." And the rabbi makes himself sound like, you know, totally ignorant and says, "I don't get it. I look at the diamond. It looks smaller than other ones. Other ones seem shinier. If you had to tell me what's the most expensive diamond, I would have chose diamond X. You chose diamond Y." And the guy gives a smirk and looks at the rabbi and says, "Rabbi, to comment on diamonds, you have to be a maven." And the rabbi looks at him and smiles and says, "And to comment on the souls of people, you also have to be a maven." Most of us don't see the souls in ourselves and other people. We don't know who's really worthy, right? We have very superficial ways of estimating people's status, their financial makeup, their coolness, their looks, their stature, their community position, etc. And we, based on that, we decide who's important, who's not important, etc. But we don't really know anything about the soul. Right? The person with the greatest soul in the room might be the quietest and most unassuming. Most forgettable person in the room might be the most powerful, with a soul that is so potent it's unbelievable. We wouldn't know. But when we acknowledge that we don't know, we walk around with a certain humility that says, "I don't know who I'm going to meet today, and I don't know what the value and the power of that experience. And I will never say that most people around me are average, because how do I know? They might be extraordinary." If you're walking around and you think that most people are just miserable, selfish, grouchy, petty, then maybe we need to reassess and freshen up our perspective and maybe see a bit deeper. Stop seeing only the superficial. We have to develop glasses, lenses that see deeper than skin deep. Just really see people. Because the greatest people on earth, the real tzaddikim, they're able to see through right a person. They have laser vision straight through, and they could see soul, and they could see power, and they could see beauty, and they could see goodness that we can never imagine in ourselves and in the people around us. And when you see that, you become so full of hope. If I have lost hope, if I'm walking around despondent, if I really think that most of what's going around the world is just painful and miserable and sad, then I need a refresher. I need a detox. Right? These days, many people have their health detoxes where they're drinking, carrot juice for 3 weeks. God bless them. I think we need a much more important detox, a detox of bad perspectives on one another, bad perspectives on ourselves, a detox of silly, superficial, pessimism and negativity, and rather something that switch to a perspective of upbeatness, of promise, of kivinu, of hope, of tov ayin, seeing the good, hakarat hatov, right? We've said this previously, that in Hebrew, in the Holy Tongue, gratitude has a very interesting way. It's not a direct translation. It's hakarat hatov, acknowledging the good. It's noticing the good. That's how we say in gratitude in Hebrew, hakarat hatov, acknowledge and see the good. There's something very powerful, because you can't be grateful until you actually see the good. Most of us have not developed that skill of hakarat hatov, seeing the good. Do you see how much good there is in this world? Do you see how much good there is in our community? Do you see how much good there is in the people around you? Earlier this week, I was getting frustrated with a certain family member. And I was really getting frustrated because they were doing something that was just whatever, not treating me the way I felt at the moment I wanted to be treated. And then I start thinking about all the things they do for me. They maybe don't express, the connection and love that we have for one another in the way that I would prefer, but they have a beautiful way of expressing it as well. And I have to do hakarat hatov. I have to acknowledge it. I have to see it. I have to be able to see the amount of goodness in this world. I can't stand when people say, ever since October 7th, the world's gone dark. We're living in very challenging times. Yes, that's true. No one's denying that. But don't frame the last 2 years as just challenging. There's been so much beauty and revelation and soul and transformation. Stop painting an era as good or bad. Has no subtlety, no complexity. Complicated times, yeah, we're definitely living, but most of life is complicated times. Most of the time, we're not aware of it. But life's always been complicated. That's living. Death is very simple, right? That's what we say, rest in peace. There's no complexity to death. But life is messy. Life is holding a lot together. Life is celebrating your child that's doing well and feeling pain for your child that's not doing well and celebrating the times of your relationships that are flourishing and biting your tongue when your relationship is making some is going through a tense time. It's all that and more and more and more and more and more. But if we could walk around with more gratitude, with seeing the beauty around us, the song that I want to finish this show with, it's in Yiddish. I'd imagine most of the listeners won't be able to understand it, but it's such a beautiful melody. And the song lyrics say that if I had the power and I had the courage, I would walk in the streets and scream the words, Yiskadal v'yiskada shmer abba. Not as of, often people think of Kaddish as a negative, it's a sign of death. The words Kaddish are actually very hopeful words. Yiskadal, Yiskadal Shmeirava. May God's beautiful, great name become greater and more famous and more sanctified and more holy. And the song just brings out a beautiful song sung by a young child. And it's, if I had the strength and if I had the courage, I would run in the streets and I would scream, Yiskadal, Yiskadal Shmeirava. I would say that God exists, and God's beautiful, and God's powerful. Einot Movade, there's nothing else other than God. I can't finish the show with a better melody to really bring across what we've been trying to say. If you believe in God, and you believe in God's goodness, stop walking around so despondent, but rather scream with hope. Yiskadal v'yiskadash shmei rabba. This is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtson of Lingsfield Shul. Have a great day, and have a great week.